today I would like to draw our attention to listening to the Holy Spirit and how precious the Holy Spirit is in the life of the believer.
In Scripture, we're told that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. The wind is invisible, and yet we can see its effect on the world around us. The wind can be powerful, like a gale, or calm, like a breeze. It has a mystery about it. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going. And try as we might, we cannot control it. For many people, the Holy Spirit is an unknown thing that they generally don't talk about, even though they know it's somehow connected to God the Father. But if the Holy Spirit is God, as the Bible tells us, and God desires to renew and change us and change the world around us, might the Holy Spirit be an essential part of that relationship? The Holy Spirit is powerful, and yes, He is mysterious, but He is also personal. He speaks to us, moves us, guides us. The Holy Spirit is called Counselor, Teacher, Comforter. This same Spirit of power and mystery that was with Israel and the prophets and the apostles is also present with us today.
The Holy Spirit is such an important part of what it means to be a Christian. The Holy Spirit is absolutely vital to our concept of God and how God speaks to us. Last week I spoke about the mysteries of God and said that there are many mysteries about what we believe about God. We open the Bible and read stories and it speaks to our hearts, and often times questions come to our mind about the nature of God or why God does things He does or doesn't do things, and we have a lot of things to wonder about God. There are a lot of things about God that will be mysteries until we get to glory and we're glorified, as the Scripture says, and then I somehow believe that God will show us those things. But there's a lot to be thankful for and celebrate and focus on about the three natures of God, the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Last week I talked especially about God the Father and God the Son and how important it is that we understand the roles of the Godhead, that we understand that each of them have a connection to us in relationship in this life. And if we don't know them, or we go past them, or we don't worship Him, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, then we're missing things in our lives. I began also last week to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to continue today about the preciousness and the importance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a role in your life if you're a believer. And if you're connected to that role, you will sense and feel a presence and a guidance that is truly amazing. And if you're out of step with the Holy Spirit, but you've come to the place in your life that you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, but maybe you've not been listening very much to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, you'll find that there are many things that the Holy Spirit wants to connect with you about. And if you're willing to tune your life to a sensitivity of listening to the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what God can speak to in your heart and your life about who you are and about your circumstances and your life. There's something about fullness that comes to my mind when I think of the Holy Spirit. We can be a believer and we can know some things about God, but the Bible also talks about having a fullness of the Holy Spirit. Knowing that that Holy Spirit has a way to connect to us and speak to us. That God Himself has, has His hand on us and in us and watching over us and guiding us, to counsel us and to guide us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" Think about that. The Bible tells us clearly. Now, this isn't a mystery. It's not a mystery that God's Holy Spirit dwells in the life of the believer. That's what God promised. He said that when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives us something. God puts something inside of us to help us, to guide us, to instruct us, to walk with us, to be a partner with us in guidance. And this verse tells us that it's the God's Spirit that lives in you. I read several translations of this verse. One says, dwells in you. An ongoing presence, that word, I looked it up. It's an ongoing living in one's life. Not coming and going. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go from your life. You may come and go from listening to the Holy Spirit, but God promises that if you're a believer, that His Spirit is in you. Point number one. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? In the Old Testament, in the temple represented a place where God's Spirit came. And they were to set up their things a certain way. They were to worship a certain way. The priests were to perform certain things. And if they did what was right and the people were living right with God, then God's presence would come down to the temple and be with the people. And it was a great celebration. It was a time of joy and rejoicing. But in the New Testament, God says that it's different. He sends His Holy Spirit into our bodies and we become His temple. His Holy Spirit comes within us, and so that it's not coming and going. It's not a Sunday of the week or a Sabbath of the week, but every day of the week we are to sense that presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He lives in the heart of the believer. We don't need to ask the Holy Spirit to come. If you're a believer today, you don't need to say, "Holy Spirit, would you please come to my life?" He's already there if you're a believer. We do need to ask God, "Would you help me to listen and obey and be responsive to the Holy Spirit that is there?" We've got to tune into Him, the Holy Spirit. There's so many things about it. And over this series of the last few weeks, I've talked about different elements of the Holy Spirit, but to also be reminded today that the Holy Spirit is a gift of God. It was a gift that had been promised. It was something that Jesus talked about toward the end of His ministry. Would you go on to that next slide, please? That Jesus promised that God would send the Holy Spirit. He told His disciples as He came to the end of His earthly ministry, He said that I'm going to go, but I'm going to ask the Father, and He will send you the Holy Spirit, who will come, the Comforter, and He will be with you, and He will be in you. The Holy Spirit truly is a great gift, planned by God, with purpose, God Himself. Last week we talked about how it is that the Holy Spirit is God Himself, God coming to dwell with you. And our part is to listen. Our part is to live a life that's always listening to what God says to us. I mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God wants us to have hearts that are saying, "God, what are You saying to me? What do You want in my life and my spirit?" I believe that every Christian, wherever you serve God, whatever job you have, whatever role you have in life, in that place as a Christian, God wants to speak to you and guide you and help you. It's not that some professions are important to God and some are not. Everything we do as a Christian is important to God. Wherever you're at in life, that is a place to serve God. And in the same way, wherever you're at in life, God promises that Holy Spirit to speak to your life so that you can be all that God wants you to be in the profession you have. Wherever you serve Him, whatever you do, God wants to guide you by His Spirit to be all that He wants you to be. whatever you do, whatever defines your life, you can do it to honor God or you can do it to be selfish. But God says that every believer has the Holy Spirit to help them to live their life according to the Spirit of God. So I want to challenge you this morning to think about your life and what you do for a living, in school or you're working or you're retired, whatever your circumstances are in your life, God wants you to live by His Spirit, and He promises to help you to do that. The Holy Spirit should be cherished, highly valued in your life as a Christian. We think probably more about the Creator God. We think about God the Father. I'm sure we think about Jesus. Maybe that's the focus. But I want to say today how important it is to remember to cherish the Holy Spirit and His voice. And cherish that voice on the inside when God speaks to us. And God puts things in our heart and our spirit to guide us and help us. That still small voice, it's described one place where God is calling us to live our lives holy before Him. God is calling us to live our lives completely dedicated to Him. God wants us to be His all the time. And He wants to speak to us and guide us. Our role is to be responsive. You might say reactive toward the Holy Spirit's nudging, the Holy Spirit speaking, the Holy Spirit saying to us that He has something for us in our hearts and our lives. That's what we do. I think of it like this. We lean into the Holy Spirit. He's there. Somehow we lean into that voice. Sometimes life is loud and busy and there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of things we can listen to. But boy, we have to intentionally lean into the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, be my guide. Holy Spirit, the song says, my heart's open wide. We have to choose to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to choose to submit to the Holy Spirit. We have to choose to say when God does speak to us and God leans His voice into us, we have to choose to listen. Somehow to step back and say, okay, God, whatever You say to me, I'm going to react to. I'm going to respond to. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to make excuses for my attitude when it stinks. I'm not going to make excuses for being judgmental. I'm not going to make excuses for having a spirit that doesn't forgive people in my past. I'm going to call it what it is, God. You put Your finger on it, so I'm going to call it what it is. God wants to change things in us. Sometimes they're big changes, and sometimes they're just little changes. But that Holy Spirit is like that flow of water through the channel. It just cleans us out when we allow Him to speak to us. God wants us to have an ongoing relationship with Him. He wants that contact to be continuous with the Holy Spirit. It's not that God just says one thing and then He goes and sits down on His throne chair in heaven and says, okay, go at it. I'm just going to watch You with my clipboard in my hand. No, God's Holy Spirit is right there with us, with you, to speak to you and guide you and to help you because He loves you. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to read 4 verses from Ephesians this morning. This is the first one here. Chapter 1, verse 13. Go back to the prior verse, unless I don't have it right on the screen. What's your prior? There you go. That's the one I want to start with. And you also were included with Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, look at that again with me. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. I said before that every Christian has a Holy Spirit, and this is one of 3 verses that specifically say that in the New Testament, that when you are a believer, you're marked with Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So God sends His Spirit to us. Now go on to that next one, would you please? Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession? Now think of that. When you become a believer, God seals you with the Holy Spirit. He marks you. I love the word mark. It's like He identifies you as His child. He identifies you as the redeemed when you become a believer, and your life is marked with the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit will not force you to do anything, but God puts that Holy Spirit there to draw you, to nudge you, to teach you, to guide you. And if you're responsive to that, it's amazing where the Holy Spirit can take things in your life and change things within you when you're responsive to Him. You were included with Christ when you heard the gospel. We are God's possession. Look at the last two words there. God's possession. It's not just that God puts you on trial till you die and then you go to heaven, but right now when you become a believer, you become a possession of God. That's how God sees you. Relationship, connection, continued communication. That's what God desires for every one of us. The Holy Spirit is precious, and you are precious to God. You are a possession of God. And so we're told to be careful then how we live. Be careful how we live. Be careful listening to the Holy Spirit. Walk carefully. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, the next one. Be careful then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time. Because God gives us that Spirit, He's saying, so be careful how you live. Listen to the Spirit as you go. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. I say to our young people in a lot of different contexts, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life by not listening to God's Spirit when you're young. But listen to what God has to say to you because it's precious. It's special. And God wants your whole life to be with Him, walking with Him, walking in His Spirit. And then one more scripture that I want to read this morning about the Holy Spirit. The next scripture here speaks to us about what God says when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. You know, we can listen to the Holy Spirit, or we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can be responsive to the Holy Spirit, or we can say to the Holy Spirit in our lives, I want my own way. I don't want to listen. I don't want to give it to you. You know, sometimes there's things in our lives that we hold on to. Maybe hurts that have happened in the past, and it's really hard to let go of them. It's really hard to let go of what we want and what we desire. But God invites us to give everything we have in our lives to the Holy Spirit. Every issue, every problem, every hurt. I heard it described a long time ago, and it really said something to me, the illustration of a house. We've heard the scriptures before. Some of you know up on this window to this side is Jesus knocking on the door. Revelation chapter 3, where it says, that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I want you to think about the Holy Spirit in connection to that verse this morning. God's Spirit is knocking at your door. And if you open the door and you say, yes, I accept your forgiveness, Jesus. I want to be a Christian. You invite Jesus into your life. And Jesus says, hey, I have a special gift for you. It's God's ongoing Spirit. It's for you. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Come on into Wayne's house. He invited you in. You go into the, and there's the Holy Spirit there with you. He looks around the house. Wow, you got a nice house, Wayne, you know. Right in the middle of the living room is a big chair. Now, this story really helped me to kind of understand the Holy Spirit for me. There's that big chair in the middle of the living room, and the Holy Spirit's come in the house, and Holy Spirit kind of looks around and waits, and Wayne, maybe you should do this, and maybe you should, let me talk to you about that room back there that you got some stuff in it that's not good for you spiritually. Then Wayne makes a decision. Hey, I invited Jim, but I didn't tell you to start giving me advice. Or Wayne can say, Holy Spirit, tell me what I need to do. Tell me what I need to change. Tell me what God's saying to me. Wayne makes a decision about that. The Holy Spirit continues to look around the house, and there's that chair. There's that chair right in the living room. Wayne goes over and he sits in the chair and he says, still my house. Still my chair. Holy Spirit, you can look around all you want, but you see, I'm still in charge of the house. This way. Holy Spirit's welcome to be there. If he wants to give me advice, it's all right. Go ahead. Speak your mind. I'll decide from the chair whether or not I'm going to respond to it. I'll decide whether I'm going to let go of the past hurts. I'll decide about what I want for my life. Holy Spirit, it's okay for you to talk about it, but and Wayne sits in the chair and he doesn't seem to hear the Holy Spirit as much anymore. He doesn't seem to hear the Holy Spirit say that anymore. He thinks, well, what happened? I don't feel close to the Holy Spirit anymore. Sometimes we as Christians live like that. We live in the house. The Holy Spirit's there somewhere. But we're sitting in the chair. This illustration really helped me about 35 years ago. Because what God wanted me to do is get up out of the chair. Holy Spirit, this is your chair. Please sit in the chair and say whatever you want to me. Boy, that's freedom. Takes away the struggle. The struggle of holding on to things that aren't good, aren't healthy, aren't helping to really live a godly life. Thankful for a Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Thankful for His refining fire. Listen to this last, watch this last minute video, and then we're going to pray.
When the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles at Pentecost, it's written that tongues of fire burned over each of their heads. Fire is not a tame thing. It's intense, it's powerful, it's brilliant, and it fundamentally changes everything it touches. Do you feel like you've been touched by holy fire? Some of you would say, no. You may feel numb rather than feeling as though you're on fire. And you may hear only silence rather than hearing God's voice. One of the ways we can distance ourselves from the Holy Spirit is through sin. When we choose to disobey God in one or all areas of our lives, it's as though we're adding layers between us and the Holy Spirit. And it's difficult to hear His voice or feel His presence through all of those layers. The beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit's fire is that if we allow it, it can burn away those layers we've built up. The Bible calls this a refining fire. And what it's referring to is a fire that burns away impurities, leaving only what is pure and noble. Consider the layers you have built and allow the refining fire of the Holy Spirit to work in your life.
Lord God, I pray that we would seek to listen and hear the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, that we would tune in, that we would listen to, that we would embrace the Word, the promises that you've made about the Holy Spirit. God, we would not take the Holy Spirit for granted. We would not grieve the Holy Spirit. One translation says that we would not quench the fires of the Spirit. But God, when you speak, we'll be responsive. When that little voice inside turns us or, Lord, shows us and tells us that something needs a change, that we would not resist that. We would say, Holy Spirit, I want you to be in charge in my life. I want you to have the freedom to speak anywhere about my life, about who I am. God, help us to seek your holy fire. Holy fire that cleanses, holy fire that makes clean and pure. I pray, God, that we would give you the full control of our lives and our spirits, I pray. Thank you for your refiner's fire. Thank you for the privilege of calling out to you. Speak to your people, Lord God, we pray. Now we turn to Holy Communion and we remember the sacrifice of Jesus. God, we're thankful that he died on the cross to save us from our sins. That God, you offer full relationship with you. I pray that we would remember today. We would be thankful. We would celebrate. We would give thanks to you, Father, I pray. I'd like to invite you now to take the communion cup. If you did not get one, please put up your hand and you want one. We want to make sure that if you're here and you wish to receive communion today, we have some in the back if anybody needs one. If not, and you're at home today or you're listening on Facebook, maybe later this afternoon on YouTube. You know, we're used to doing a communion a certain way, but today we're just going to remember and celebrate. Invite you to take off that first plastic layer. We haven't done this in a long time, so it might seem a little different. First layer has the little piece of wafer in it. On the night that Jesus died, he took the bread, and when he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." In faith today, maybe make this a prayer. Holy Spirit, be my guide. Holy Spirit, my heart's open wide. And worship him today. Worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whatever you have to drink, many have the grape juice here and others at home, other places. Whatever you have, I invite you to drink, remembering the words. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup, and after he gave thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant." And invite you to celebrate today God's Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for us. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Would you just take a moment and maybe let those who would like to slip out to do that? We said last week that some people are more comfortable not being together, and other people just can't stop hugging and all that, and we want you to do what you're comfortable with today. And so we'll give an opportunity for those that maybe would prefer to step out to do that. Not that, you know, we have to fall in one category or another, but we want to be very sensitive to what people are feeling and thinking, and the rest of you as you have an opportunity, say hello from a distance. Glad you're here today. Love all of you. Hope you have a great week. God bless.